The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
In my teenage years, I would frequent rock concerts. And amongst my most favorite, at that time I called musician and artist, was a man by the name of Alice Cooper. Now, I don't know how many people remember Alice Cooper. He's actually still working. You know, I mean, can't get a job doing something else, so. But maybe like Alice would hire him. But he's still working. And he was quite a remarkable, I guess I'd call him a person, but he was a little nuts. And I loved him. Right? I loved him. He was very unusual. Because more than a musician, he was a performer. And he did the oddest, most bizarre, ridiculous things on stage. Right? In fact, he was discovered by another artist that at the time I had great respect for, by the name of Frank Zappa. Right? Frank Zappa's claim to fame is that on stage he'd pull his pants down and relieve himself on stage. Right? And that's where he got the name Frank Zappa took a, we won't say, okay, on stage. Well, Frank Zappa discovered a young, aspiring talent by the name of Alice Cooper in some club. And he said, this guy's got talent. And why does this guy have talent? Because he's insane. You got to be insane today to make it. So what he would do is, and you have to understand, you'd pay a lot of money to get these concerts. What he would do is he'd get on stage with a live cobra around his body. And he would sing a song about snakes. Okay? After that, he would take out of his pocket a baby doll and from his other pocket a hatchet. He would sing a song called Dead Babies, right? And he would hatchet this doll on stage and throw the pieces at the audience. Now, could you imagine people leaping forward to get a little piece of a plastic baby doll? Crazy, right? I actually still have mine right here. And just while leaping for this baby doll. Then, after that, for dessert, he took a watermelon, he'd smash it on stage, and he would kick it at you. You've paid $50. For someone to throw watermelon on you. I mean, I'd do it for $5, okay? If anybody want watermelon in their face, right? And there I was, front row seat, spent a lot of money for a baby, piece of a baby doll. You would get a whole baby doll, which I could have bought for $5, and watermelon in my face. Okay, but the finale, and you have to say we're all in ecstasy. We all just gone crazy in the audience. The finale is that his band would hang him on stage, which he deserved, okay? They would build a gallows. They put a noose around his neck, right? They have this incredible music called Love It to Death, right? You're very impressed with my knowledge, I'm sure. I can tell you all the lyrics, right? And then, literally, they would pull the floor out, and he would go, right? And at that moment, the whole stadium, thousands of people in the stadium, the whole stadium would go dark, a piercing spotlight on his dead face, right? Then the whole place would go dark again, then the whole place would go completely light, Alice Cooper dancing on stage in a white tuxedo, right? And we are going, whoa, woo! It was like, whoa, the place was just freaking, it was just unbelievably high. And so looking back at those good days when I was young, I try to understand, what was I doing there? What was I looking for? What were we looking for? Drugs. No, just joking. Because we already had them. But what were we looking for? And I think what I was looking for is, unfortunately, what some people do when they're depressed, it's called shock treatment. You know, I don't think they do that anymore. But once upon a time, one of the therapies for depression was shock. And you know what? I think this is what I know I think I was, although I wasn't depressed. But I was looking for sensationalism. I was looking to feel alive and awake and aware again. And I really did feel that for a little bit after the concert. Because when you get out of that concert hall, you just look at aunts so differently. And uncles also. You would look at these little bugs and you'd just go, so good to see you. I'm so happy I'm out of there. And you would actually become more aware or sensitized to the world around you because you were so taken away. Your paradigm so smashed. Anything normal was so challenged. So to see the normal was already, whoa. To see the ordinary was now extraordinary. But is this really the path to sensationalism? But this is what people seem to be looking for. They're looking for sensationalism. They're looking that their senses should be awakened. We want to feel alive. We want to feel mindful. We want to be in that state of awe and wonder. And I was in awe and wonder of this fellow. But is that really the kind of awe and wonder that's real? And can that kind of wonder and awe last? And is that the kind of wonder and awe that takes us to a higher place in our lives and empowers us and inspires us to treat each other better, to invite the ineffable into our lives more and raise and enhance the quality of our lives? Quite frankly, no. And I remember my first Shabbat experience. And I remember there was something about it that was familiar. And I remember lighting this candle. It was at a Shabbaton at an organization called NCSY. And there were like 100 of us, and we were lighting Shabbos candles. And I said, there's something here that I'm feeling that I don't know what it is, but it seems familiar. And I realized what it was, is those very high moments at those rock concerts when all of us would hold up a match. Do you ever remember those concerts? I know young people are now holding up cell phones. Okay, in Israel they hold up their cell phones. I don't know if they do that. It's not the same, man. It's just not the same. But I remember at those rock concerts, all of a sudden you look around, there'd be thousands of people, and they'd be holding a match. And you got to have a match too. Excuse me, can I have a match? Can I light? And you, and you feel so good, because you're holding on to that little match. Of course, it's getting closer to your fingers, so you're getting a little nervous. And then you realize that everyone has lighters. You idiot. Okay? But what was that experience? There was this transcendental, spiritual, sensational feeling that we got when we felt one, when we felt connected, when we all felt we could take our little lights out and become part of this great torch, this greater consciousness. And we felt that. I felt that. I think all of us felt that at the stadium. But we didn't know what to do with it. We didn't know where it would take us. And was it really real? Is it the only way to go? And can you have that every single day? So it was shock treatment. It was kind of like shofar blowing. Kind of waken my soul from my slumber. I feel my senses are dumb. I feel they're numbing. Right? You know, there's a song called Comfortably Numb. Was it Pink Floyd who did that? Right, comfortably numb. I know more lyrics than Psukim, unfortunately, right? But that's what the world is feeling. But are they really feeling comfortably numb? I don't think so. People are feeling uncomfortably numb and are looking for sensation. They're looking for awakening. But how do we do that? So we go to a movie, okay? Now, when I was growing up, the goriest, most sensational movie at the time was Bonnie and Clyde. Okay? Now, Bonnie and Clyde really was, wow, this is really wow. And at the end, the most sensational, shocking part is when Bonnie and Clyde are behind these bushes, and these guys pull up and go, right? Right? And what you'd see is this trickling of blood underneath the bushes, and then they'd show you the blood stains on Bonnie's white dress. I can't believe this is disgusting. But it was sensationalism. It was really sensational. That won't go today. That won't turn people on. That doesn't waken people from their numbness. So the movies get even more gory. Before, they just kind of hint to it. Now, it's not sensational unless you see in slow motion the guy take the gun, pulls it out, and goes, slow motion, goes right into the person's forehead, and all the blood splatters all the screen, and we all go, wow. Ooh, my stomach, wow, that was sensational, right? That's not enough anymore. Because we're becoming numb again. It doesn't seem to waken us. So it gets more sensational and more sensational. So now they have real, live films, videos of people being killed. Well, I know there's a show that actually shows you people in accidents. Are you familiar with this show? I'm the only one that watches it every week. Anyways, Judaism is the path to sensationalism, at least for us Jews. Judaism was all about sensationalism, whereby we're able to maintain an awareness of the extraordinary in the ordinary. As I mentioned yesterday, the whole path of Judaism is a consciousness building exercise. What is, but are you aware of the is? Are you overwhelmed by the is? Are you just simply in a state of radical amazement and wonderment over is? That's the question. But is Hashem, ultimate reality, ultimate presence, supreme power, whatever word we use, is just a word and it'll never be enough. But that awesome presence is present every second, every place, in every person. And now the question is, are we building our awareness? Are we tuning into it? It's like a radio. I mean, right now, there is Japanese music playing in the air. And I know this because if I took a shortwave radio and tuned into it, then we'd hear it. But it's here, we just don't hear it. And so too, Hashem is here. And yet, do we see Hashem? Do we feel Hashem? Do we hear Hashem? And if you read the Psalms of David, you can see this man was totally attuned to that ineffable presence, that wonder, that awe. And so we have a simple strategy that can actually enable us to maintain this feeling of wonder and awe and truly stimulate our senses and live a sensational life. Okay? And there's very few things I would say that I would guarantee could change your life almost immediately, but I truly believe that this could, right? And it is the power of what we call brachot, blessings. Okay? Blessings. It's amazing. In my own journey back to Judaism, which, as I mentioned yesterday, was in my late teens, the first thing I actually started to experiment with in my Jewish life was brachot, blessings over food. Okay? And what I'd like to share with you is an understanding of what those blessings is, because I don't want people to think that I'm just into metaphysic, Kabbalistic, mystical, esoteric stuff, because I'm not. To me, it's about how can I make it real here, now, and really use it. Really use it. And I find that Jewish life, and the reason why I teach Judaism is because I love Judaism, and if you find something that works in your life, then you should share it with others. So this works in my life. Right? This works in my life. And it's called brachot, blessings. We have all kinds of blessings. One particular blessing is blessings over our food. Right? Before we eat something, we have a blessing. And the blessing goes, Baruch Atah Hashem. And we'll soon talk about what that means. And the particular blessing that correlates to the food. Okay? So for instance, if I have this, and what is this?
In our
words. Wrong. What is this? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know what this is, but I call it apple. That's the noise I make when I see it, or when I see it in Israel, I say tapuach. Okay? Ze tapuach. But what this is, I don't know what this is. And the sad thing is we think we know what it is. We go, oh yeah, right, an apple. And you see you've lost an opportunity. An apple, big deal. Right? You know, a friend of mine was at one of these New Age colleges in California. Carlos Castaneda, you might be familiar with, came, was giving a talk. So there were all these real hippie weirdo type of people there with feathers in their hair and pins in different parts of their noses and tongues and war paint, and like the really totally way out kind of different people. So Carlos said, do me a favor. Look out the window. What do you see? So they all looked out the window and they all said, tree. I said, ha, you think you're so different. Your parents would have said the same thing. You're so different. See, I don't know what this is. I mamish don't know what this is. And I don't want to ever know what this is. I just want to be dumbstruck. I want to just be in awe. I want to feel speechless. Right? But of course, because we're part of a community, because sometimes I'm not here and I need to remind myself, so I make these noises to try and remember that which is or that who is, that presence that fills this entire earth. And so I don't know what this is. I don't ever want to know what this is. Right? But I have a noise because when I go into a store and I say, look, I'm looking for that thing that I don't know what it is, they won't know what it is. Right? Right? So, we call this, we make a noise, apple or tapuach. But the truth is that a better word for this, and again, it's just a noise, would be bracha. Bracha. Bracha has been loosely translated into English to mean blessing. But bracha is abundance. Bracha is richness. There's not enough words that'll come close to it. But this is not an apple. I don't know what this is. But a better word that would come close to what this is such a bracha in my life. What a blessing. Wow. Look at the colors, the texture, the smell. Ah, those pesticides, I love them. Ah, right? And then you taste it. Right? And we make a bracha. And we hold it, preferably in our right hand, and we go, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaEtz. Okay. Now I want you to know that tasted so sensational. That tasted so incredible. Because if you eat an apple, gee, you've had apples before, right? But if you eat one of these, and you'll never see one of these again, never in your life will you see one of these again. Even though you say, that's an apple, what are you talking about? Like my son would think I'm nuts. That's also an apple? That's so different. The shape, how could you call it? It's just words. Do you know that Eskimos have something like 100 different words for snow? Imagine you're up north, and this white stuff comes down and say, wow, look, it's snowing, and your Eskimo friend looks and says, that's not snow. That's guba gaba. Oh, wow, let's make a guba gaba man. Okay, well, great. Right? And then it starts snowing again. So he says, oh, but now I know. Hey, look at the guba gaba coming down. He looks at you. That's not guba gaba. That's bam bam boomba. All right, it looks very much like snow, but we've totally lost. We don't see. We've lost our senses. The sensationalism is gone in our lives because we think we know what this is. And we think this is the same as the other one and the other one. I don't know what it is. But a better word for it is a bracha. This is a blessing. And now I want to know, who is the source of this blessing? Do I actually believe this came from a piece of wood? I'm like, come on, folks, let's get with it. This is totally ridiculous. If it makes sense, then we're crazy. We're totally crazy. I remember my son, we were calling my parents, Bobby and Zadie. They live in Canada, we live in Israel, and there's a 7-hour difference backwards, right? So we're calling my parents, and I tell my kids, you know, well, we got to wait until 4 o'clock. It'll be 9 o'clock in the morning by Bobby and Zadie. So my son said to me, Abba, I don't get that. Why do they have a different time? Right? Why do I have a different time? So I said, oh, great. Opportunity. Father teach his son the truths of science. Terrific. Okay. So I started explaining. I said, well, you see, Yudi, there's the earth. Right? And I said, no, here. So I took a tennis ball. I said, okay, Yudi, this is the earth. He looks at me. Uh-huh. Now, you and I are on this, right? Let's say over here. So he looks at me and goes, yeah, right. And he's like, kind of wondering, like, come on, you're pulling my leg, right? Okay, and we're over here. And Buddy Zazie's over here on this part of the tennis ball. He's looking at me like, uh-huh. Okay, so now I take a basketball. Now, this is the sun. And he's looking at me with this little smirking face like, okay, what's the punchline? Okay. Now, you see, now the earth is spinning around. And the earth is spinning around, and I'm going through this, and this all totally makes sense to me, right? This is, like, totally obvious, easy to understand, no problem. And I see my son looking at me like, my father's insane. He's crazy. Like, and I had a moment where I looked at that in his eyes and was in total shock. Like, let's face it, totally ridiculous. Yes. And this ball happens to be at a perfect cycle going around. Just come on. And we thought it made sense. It makes no sense. And when it finally makes no sense, then you are tapped into the sensational. The sensational. I remember at the birth of my first child, just the absolutely awesome, most, again, unfathomable, marvelous, and again, all these words just pale in the face of who I knew at that moment is true in my life, and the incredible gratitude I felt at that moment. I remember the first Friday night after my daughter was born, I was holding my little daughter, and what just naturally came out of my mouth was, you know what? Only when life becomes unbelievable does God become believable. And this is the problem. The problem is this and this and this and this and this has all become believable. And we think it all makes sense. And it doesn't make any sense. And that's when it becomes sensational. And when we make a bracha, what we're trying to do is to tap into that. And to remember that this is not an Apple. This is not a Macintosh. This is not a granny. This is that. It is what it is, and it's beyond words. But the best word I have is, what a bracha this is. What a blessing in my life this is. And it's sensational. Now, according to Jewish mysticism, when a person eats one of these without making a bracha, without acknowledging the presence of the Ineffable One in your life, without feeling the graciousness and the awesomeness of this, then it only feeds your body. It will do nothing for your soul. But according to Jewish mysticism, within everything are divine sparks, so to speak. The divine is waiting, so to speak, to be revealed and manifest through the physical world. And when I acknowledge Hashem, the Ineffable One, as the source and the ground and the essence of this, then this not only tastes differently, but this actually impacts me differently. Okay? It's an amazing thing. This is the power, the blessing, the food. So according to Kabbalah, within everything is a hidden dimension of divinity, of ultimateness. Again, the words are just words. Ultimate presence, whatever it is. And when I acknowledge and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, ineffable, awesome, ultimate one. You are the source of blessing. You are the Baruch. You are the source of bracha. You are the source of blessing. Then this apple turns into a gift. And I receive it as a present. And what makes a present a present? What makes it a present is that you sense the presence of the one who gave it to you. Right? And that's what makes it valuable. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people here would like to have a nice, you know, diamond ring, you know? But, you know, you can go to Sears catalog and buy yourself one. That's not it. You know, I'd rather have the top of a Zip can of Coke that was given to me by somebody who loves me than going out and just buy myself a diamond ring, because it's not a present. It doesn't embody. It doesn't communicate the presence of the one who gave it to me. So the question is, what is this? I don't know. But the more I build my consciousness, the more this turns into something very different. Or actually becomes more revealed into what it really is. This is a manifestation of God. There was one Hasidic Rebbe by the name of the Rebbe of Kabrin. He turned to his chassidim. He says, "You want to see God?" They said, "Yes." He held up a morsel of bread and said, "Here he is." Okay, so here he is, folks. Okay, because God is within and manifest through everything and everyone. It's up to us to tune into that. It's up to us to awaken ourselves to that. It's up to us to build our consciousness, to be receptive to that or to who already is present in this awesome, incredible place. So let's try again. Let's see if you're getting it. So now, what is this? What is this? I don't know! Right? I don't know what this is! You know what this is? Right? Could be a smile. Could be a mustache. Right? Could be horns, but hey, let's not get anti-Semitic about this. Right? Right? What is this? I don't know what this is. I've never seen this before. Have you ever seen this before? You've never seen this before. You might have seen that some that might look like it, but this you've never seen, and when I finish it, you'll never see it again. Okay? Okay? I don't know what this is. But okay, listen, we're in a world, we need words, we need categories, we have to walk into supermarkets. We can't go around saying, "Look, I'm looking for, you know, the I don't know." Right? So we need words, but it's just a way to communicate, but not to substitute for the realities and for the mystification of that which is, or more important, who is manifest in this awesome world. But we make a noise. We say banana. Right? And in Hebrew we say banana. Okay? That's a very big difference. Okay? Because if you go and say, "I want a banana," they won't know what you're talking about. But if you say banana, but I don't know what this is. And I want to just, every time I pick something like this, I just want to be mystified by it. I just want to eat it. This is just incredible. I remember Rav Shlomo was at my friend's home in Chicago. They brought out some fruit. Right? Rav Shlomo held up a banana. He looked and says, "Oh, gefalt! This reminds me of the base of Megdash, the holy temple." So my friend turned to him and says, "Rav Shlomo, how does a banana remind you of the base of Megdash?" He said, "Brother, how can it not remind you of the base of Megdash?" I don't get it, right? So, well, I don't know what this is. But we make a noise, banana. But the truth is, it's much deeper than a banana. Right? It's a bracha. This is such a bracha. The nutrients in this. Right? The potassium in this, which is just another noise. Right? The texture, the taste. The fun of opening it up. The colors. I don't know what it is. But, Baruch Atah, you are the source of blessing. Where did this come from? From the ground? From some tree? That's where it came from? It's just ridiculous. Just 2 weeks ago, my family and I were on this farm. And in the back of the farm was this incredible orchards of peach trees, plum trees. And I just walked through that and said, like, you know, I'm just used to seeing them in baskets, in shelves, right, with a little spray on it. Suddenly you just see it out there and you remember, come on, folks. Sensational. Absolutely sensational. And I didn't have to pay $50 to see it. Right? Sensational. We've lost touch with the most immediate, most gratifying, most mystifying, most inspirational manifestation of Hashem. Of God, Shechina, presence. And we just walk through this world and we miss it. We miss it. And we go around trying to simulate, trying to stimulate, and we end up just complicate our lives. Because the simple is the most real. And the simple is the most stunning. And we've lost touch with it. But if we use the simple strategy of Judaism, which is called the bracha, then we can have this experience every single day. But again, you have to understand, if you don't use it right, it's not going to work. So somebody goes, "Oh yeah, right, these blessings, blah, 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 blah." Okay, listen, that's what you're going to get. You don't know what you're saying. You don't try to feel what you're saying. You're not mindful of what you're saying. You don't take it just a moment to just hold the banana, right? And just get, just for a second, and just be conscious of the blessing that it is and the mystery that it is. And just be so filled with thankfulness and acknowledge that this is a blessing. And blessings don't grow on trees. And trees don't grow out of the ground. And the ground isn't just simply floating in midair, spinning around the sun. It's all a manifestation of what we mean when we say the noise, Hashem. So we have different blessings. And every time we make that blessing, we reveal out of the food, or the act, we have blessings for acts. When we're about to light Shabbat candles, crazy, totally crazy. Baruch Atah Hashem. What I'm about to do is such a blessing, such a richness, such an abundance. I think maybe that's why they called it ritual, because it's so rich. But most people think ritual is so stupid, symbolic, meaningless. That's up to you, whether you plug it in, whether you use it, whether it allows you to go to the experience it's pointing to. But when a person's about to light Shabbat candles, I mean, let's face it, we're going to take this little stick, we're going to bang it against, rub it against some rough edge, suddenly some kind of what we noise about flame, we're going to then pass it over to what noise we say, which is candle. It's going to pass, it's not going to lose itself in the process, which itself is really interesting and fascinating. And we're going to say, Baruch Atah, you are the source of blessing, who have commanded me, empowered me, asked me to light this Shabbat candle. What light that could bring into your life. But it's all about kavana. The intention, the focus, the openness to allow these words to awaken us to the mystery of the ineffable presence who simply is right here, right now. Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's a great rabbi, passed away maybe a decade ago. He was the head rabbi of an organization, an institution called Yeshiva University. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, if someone were to ask me to sum up Judaism in two words, I would say it's Baruch Atah. Blessed are you. You are the source of all blessing. Baruch Atah also means something else. When we're about to, let's say, have some this. Now, of course, what is this?
I don't know.
I don't either. I've never seen this before. Right. But the noise I make is water. Or actually now I call it matcha. Okay? And, but there's a blessing for this. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Niyeh Bidvarav. Baruch Atah not only means you are the source of this blessing, but Baruch Atah also can be translated as blessed be you. Now what does blessed be you mean? Now people think blessed means thank you. It doesn't mean thank you at all. Blessed means, if you were to get this Rosh Hashanah, a card, which I hope you will, right, and it says, I bless you for health, happiness, success. What did they actually say? Did they say, I thank you for wealth, health, and happiness? No. If a person blesses you for health, wealth, happiness, what they're saying is, I wish upon you an increase in your health, an increase in your wealth, an increase in your happiness. Okay? That's what Baruch means. Baruch Atah, when I'm about to hold this, then I say, I want this to be an opportunity to increase the presence of Hashem in my life. So I say, Baruch Atah Hashem. Blessed be you, Hashem. So what am I really saying? I'm saying that this can be a vehicle, an opportunity to allow me to increase my awareness of God. Now, of course, it's ridiculous. How do you say, may you increase God? Of course, God isn't going to increase. What it means is, may my awareness of you increase. Like we said yesterday. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. Right? The presence fills all. And is immediately available. But do we open our eyes? Do we open our minds? Do we open our hearts to receive and become aware? As I mentioned yesterday, you know, you could be colorblind, so even though there's this incredible spectrum of colors here, a colorblind person would be living in a colorless world. So if a person is blind to God, lives in a godless world, even though God is completely present. Therefore, when we say Baruch Atah, what we're actually doing is we're saying, let there be an increase in you, ineffable one, in my life. Of course, it's not God increasing, but it's the manifestation of you, the awareness of you in my life. And we believe, and Jewish mysticism claims, that that transforms this, and it releases from it, or enables us to zoom into and attune to the godly dimension, the godliness, so to speak, the ultimateness of this. This is taken so seriously in the Hasidic world, right? That they believe that if their Rebbe, their spiritual master, makes a blessing on the food, then they want a taste of that food. Because when they make a blessing, okay, our awareness is, you know, of God is pretty good, but his awareness, so much greater. So when he says Baruch Atah, when he says you are the source of this blessing, when he says may there be an increase in the manifestation of you, God, then that apple totally transforms. And now we can taste a little bit of that ultimateness, that limitlessness, that unlimitedness, that Ein Sofiut, that divine light in that food. I have to tell you, they take it so seriously that they'll even like push to get like a little morsel to taste their Rebbe's food. Right? It's an amazing thing. But we all have the ability to build our awareness of the incredible presence and be in a constant state of what's called hitpa'alut, wonderment, sensationalism, awesomeness, so filled with the thrill of being alive. And we have blessings for almost everything, right? We have a blessing for a rainbow, right? We have a blessing when we hear thunder. We have a blessing when we see lightning. We have a blessing when we see a creature who's unusual and we haven't seen. We have a blessing for the ocean if we haven't seen the ocean in 30 days. We have a blessing when we see an individual who has remarkable wisdom. We have a blessing if you see a king. We have a blessing if you see a mass of people. We have a blessing for almost everything and everyone, because it's all about building our awareness and receiving the presence in our lives and feeling the richness of that presence and abundance in our lives. We even have a blessing, which is a blessing for when we go to the bathroom. Now, this is not a blessing before you go to the bathroom. It's a blessing when you come out of the bathroom. Right? That's remarkable, because our sages tell us that this blessing has the power to maintain your health and to heal you. Now, why? Why would this blessing maintain our health and heal us? Because the more we're aware that you, God, are the source of life, then the more we feel God in our lives. The more we are aware that you, God, are the healer of all flesh, then the more that truth becomes manifest, experienced, and true in our lives. And the more we recognize the mystery of the intricacies of our tubes and our holes. And yet, who would ever think that coming out of the bathroom could be a spiritual experience, right? But in Jewish tradition, everything is a spiritual experience, because everything and every moment and every person is an opportunity to heighten our awareness of the ultimate is, the ineffable one, the eternal infinite presence that fills every moment, every place, every person. And it's a question of building our vessels, tuning in, and being receptive. Sensationalism is yours every single moment. But we're losing touch with our senses. We're losing our senses. And we need strategies. We need tools in order to maintain that healthy sensationalism that we deserve and we so yearn. And one and only one of the tools of Judaism, because as I mentioned before, all of Judaism, through its law, the mitzvot, Shabbat, these were not meant to be burdensome. These were not meant to simply be some kind of guilt trip. These were meant to come from some egomaniac God that was trying to get us to be subservient to God. These were all meant to be opportunities to build ourselves into vessels, receivers, and to hear that incredible divine symphony that's playing everywhere, in every moment in our lives. And when we tune into that ever-present presence that fills all, then we win the game of life. We get the big prize and receive the greatest gift that we could ever hope to receive, which is divine presence. Thank you.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.